Hi everyone, this is Maya here. I hope you guys are doing well and staying safe. I know it's really stressful right now with all the craziness going on, so I'm wishing you guys lots of warmth and peace of mind going forward, okay? Well, with that little greeting, let's go ahead and start off the podcast. Today I want to talk to you guys about the notion of colorism, specifically within the U.S. Census. Now, with that, I want to talk about what is the U.S. Census and why it's important in the United States and how it correlates with colorism. And with colorism, I want to talk about multiracial identities and the creation of colorism and how that correlates with the U.S. Census. So with that brief introduction, sorry about that, let's dive right in. So what is the U.S. Census? The U.S. Census is the collection or enumeration of individuals' information in their respected states. This information contains the age, gender, race, and ethnicity of all members of a household. It is a decennial census, which means it happens every 10 years, and it's required by law. We are actually in the middle of a census, or in the middle of the 2020 U.S. Census right now, which I thought was pretty cool, and I was excited to share that with you guys. But moving on. The U.S. Census came to be under the United States Constitution in Article 2 in 1790. And since then, it has been a tool to determine the distribution of seats in Congress, the House of Representatives, and the Electoral College. It determines when and where federal funds will be allocated for schools, roads, and other public services. Over the decades, questions of racial identity have loomed over the census, specifically in regards to those of multiracial, biracial, or ethnically ambiguous individuals. If we look at the history of the racial identity question part of the census, there has definitely been major changes and confusion. When it first came to be, it was simply white or black, but honestly, more like white or other. If you weren't white, you were the other. And it was pretty much basic like that. And it left a very limited choosing an option. But as time and society has changed, it's definitely came to include a more diverse and fitting option. In 1997, you had the option to choose other, or click on multiple boxes, or write in mixed race. And then in 2000, the question of ethnicity also expanded. However, it faced its most recent moment in 2018 when the Trump administration attempted to require a citizenship questionnaire. This went all the way to the Supreme Court, where it was rejected and deemed unconstitutional, seeing as how the census has never and will never require that the individual must be a citizen of the United States to be considered part of the census. Now, why am I telling you all about the U.S. Census? Great question. Like I said, the census is vital in relaying information to the government. It helps with issues of gerrymandering and redlining by providing demographic and statistics. However, it does leave a bit of a confusing space for those who do have multiracial or biracial identities, which brings us all the way back to the topic of colorism. So, what is colorism? Colorism can be defined as a system of privileges and disadvantages that is based on the lightness or darkness of one's skin complexion, with favoritism towards those with lighter skin. It's based on social implications attached to skin color. The notion of colorism has not been new. Scholars such as Alice Walker, W.E.B. Du Bois, Toni Morrison, and Audre Lorde have all commented on colorism and how it affected their lives and those around them. Colorism is a very interesting topic because it acts as a hierarchy within a hierarchy. It creates a stigma and pressure to fit a mold that accompanies a skin complexion, which is all traced back to the European-American ideology that heightens a notion of white supremacy and racial purity. The social stigma behind colorism is deeply embedded in today's culture and society, and not just that, but through policy actions and the criminal justice system. In a study of criminal sentencing outcomes of North Carolina inmates in 2011, inmates who coded themselves as having lighter skin received shorter sentences and faced a lower incarceration rate. Colorism is a key player in showing how intersectionality ties the personal to the political, and the political to the personal. Now that I gave you a bit of a brief introduction to colorism, I want to talk a bit more about how colorism and the U.S. Census came to intertwine, and where that intertwining came from came with the rule of hyperdescentism, or hyperdescent. The rule of hyperdescent came with the arrival of European Americans and was served to create a social barrier between people of color and European Americans. It was meant to suppress any expression of multiracial identity by forcing individuals of colors exclusively to their background of color. It since then made its way to the one-drop rule, which was an oppressive variant of the rule of hyperdescentism. Or hyperdescent, sorry. I keep adding an ism in there, and there's not an ism, so just bear with me. As I was saying, the one-drop rule. The one-drop rule came in the 1700s and was put into place to stop any choice of self-identification and was made to socially designate those of African-American ancestry to be considered black. The one-drop rule is specifically unique to the United States. By the 1920s, the one-drop rule had become the basic definition of blackness and had often been internalized through a vast majority of African-Americans at the time. I wish I could report that in my findings that the U.S. Census grew not just from the 1920s, but throughout the time it grew to include a lot more racial options very quickly, but I would be lying. It took until 1997 till we saw any real options kind of surface, which leads me onto my next subject of focusing on not just the white and black narrative, but the idea of colorism, multiracial identities that often occurs in the U.S. Census. Other persons of colors have occupied a pretty ambiguous position in the U.S. racial categorization. Like I said, it wasn't until 1997 where multiracial identity movements had to fight to be seen as valid and took away the notion of confusing because it was complicating. But that left many individuals in a position of having to other themselves because they didn't feel that they were white, but there was no option for them to put themselves in, which again reiterates the idea of colorism, which is inherently based in a white supremacist and racial purity aspect. I know many individuals that often feel pressured to pick a side of their identity, and that's only pressured and heightened when you have a limited option to be seen not just person to person, but as a legitimate individual that operates within the U.S. Census and operates as a functioning cog in the United States government and society. I actually just took the census today, and though I saw a vast improvement compared to the research I've done, I definitely felt that there was a limited amount of options for those who are multiracial or biracial. All in all, colorism only enforces the notion, like I said, of white supremacy. And when you have the creation of multiracial / biracial identity and they don't have a place to put themselves in, it creates a perpetuating notion of othering versus white. Which is why we need to continue to ask and demand more options of a more inclusive and legitimate, finding that represents, that's the word. I'm so sorry, everyone. Let me try that sentence one more time. We have to have more inclusive and diverse options for individuals because it represents the reality that is the United States. We are not a black and white nation. We are a vast, multiracial, ethnically ambiguous and group of individuals, and we should embrace that. There was a lot of information there, so thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed some of it, and yeah, that's the end. So have a good one, and thank you for listening. Bye, guys.